What a joy it is to be back in Jacksonville, Texas. We've lived here twice while we were in school, and then later on to come back to Pastor First Baptist. It's always good to come home and to see that God is working in lives and this great institution and in the church, and to greet many friends and to make new acquaintances today. I looked at my ring last night. 40 years ago this May was when I graduated. Some of you students weren't even thought about at that time. But it's a great institution. How many of you agree, huh? And I'm glad God is just being so faithful to keep it alive and providing with great leadership and great faculty. And I rejoice at what God is doing at the BMA Theological Seminary. I have great memories of people who have gone on to be with the Lord. And I was looking back there on the foyer of that painting of the professors that were in the original faculty. And I think I had every one of them. They've all gone to be with the Lord except one. And I just thank God for the impact they had upon my life and for what we learned while we were here. And then Dr. Bryans, as I pastored, said, you learned everything you learned from me. So I guess if that's the truth, then I'm just, you can blame it on him. But Dr. Bryans has been a blessing to my life. How about yours, huh? And I thank God for him and for his wife and for all those who have invested in this great institution. And we come, of course, in memory of a great man, Brother Ralph Brand, who had a great impact upon our nation and upon the educational system of our land, upon the spiritual history of our land and of our denomination. And we thank God for the memory of such a great giant of the faith. And always loved the Lord, always preached the Word, always stood for truth. And I'm glad he's being honored in this way every year to bring back those memories of great men who have walked across the stage of time to impact our lives and our children's life and our grandchildren's life. So thank God for him and ask God to bless his family and use them to his glory as he used them. I want to thank Dr. Holmes, Dr. Atterbury, and all who are responsible for inviting us here. We have looked forward to this for several months to come, share time on the campus with you, and to speak the Word of God. And I'm just honored that we would be able to do this. I want you to know that it's a great privilege to partner with the Theological Seminary. We have great things going on at video conferencing in other nations, and looking forward to a great enlargement of that program. And your professors go and teach and invest their lives in others in other nations. And we thank God that we're able to partner together in doing that. I would have to tell you that it's been my joy in the last almost 6 years to be in the Department of Missions. We'll be in the month of May, and it slipped by so quickly. But I get to work with some of the finest men who have a heart for the nations, a heart for the people who need Jesus Christ as their Savior. And you're going to hear from some of these this afternoon and then Thursday. And I hope you'll make every effort to be here, to enjoy and to learn and to be inspired and to be informed about what's going on in the world of BMA missions. This morning we have about 1,100 missionary families in 75 nations, and I'm praise God for that. And every time he opens a new nation to us, we just rejoice. And we have a young couple getting ready now to go back over to Estonia, and that will be one of our newest fields. If the association adopts the recommendation of our committee, we'll have a new missionary going to Scotland next this year. So I just rejoice in what God is doing, opening country, nation, ethnic groups to us. And I want you to continue to pray. I do invite you to be a part of our prayer force. We ask God to give us 5,000 people who will pray with us every day for BMA missions, missionaries in the BMA. And I only believe God works in answer to prayer. When people pray, he has promised, I will answer thee. When I ask sometimes, what is your 911 number? Mine is Jeremiah 33:3. It says, call unto me, and I will answer thee. How many of you believe that, huh? I will answer thee. Didn't say I might or I'll think about it. I will answer thee. And then he says, I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So every day we have over 5,000 people who are lifting up missionaries around the world in prayer. And we would like to add your name to that. I'll mail you a prayer log every month. You can get it on email or on our website. And we would love to have you be a member of our intercessory prayer force. In fact, there are some copies back there of the March prayer calendar. And if you'll take one, I would love for you to do that. And take it home with you. Get involved in prayer for missionaries. And then call us or write us if you don't sign up while we're here and say, I want to be a part of the prayer movement of the BMA. Also back there, you'll find some recent gleaners, the two latest ones. This happens to be the latest one, and I hope that you will pick up some copies. Plenty of them to take to your churches, and there's another box under the table. You'll be really, moved by reading the stories of missionaries, what's going on in the world. So be a part of that, and ask God to bless the reading of the gleaner. It is also on our website. You just, just turn it page after page, read it, and I hope that you'll be blessed and that you'll want to subscribe. Some of you are really young and some of you are really old like me. And if you're old like me, you can get it for $1 a year. That's not bad, is it? Huh? And so try to do that and you'll enjoy reading the Gleaner. We have been impressed in the last few months to an emphasis of the lostness of humanity. I don't know, as I've expressed in our mission symposiums in January, I think we've lost a lot of the vocabulary in Baptist churches that we should not have lost. And one of those words is that word, L-O-S-T. Shout it with me, will you? Lost. And I want us to reemphasize that among the churches of the BMA, that humanity is lost. And our whole goal this year, the next 3 years, will be to have a program that will make us understand the lostness of humanity and then that we're on a search and rescue mission. All of us have search and rescue on. I hope nobody drowns because I can't swim, but if they're lost in sin, I can lead them to the Savior. But I want you to know this is what we're all about here, folks, right? Yeah, Jesus left us here as His search and rescue team, and May the 3rd, we're calling Search and Rescue Sunday. I want you to take a manual back there if you don't have one already. Read through it, or put it in, implement it in your church, and we're praying that a soul, at least one soul, will be saved in every BMA church on May the 3rd. How many of you will join us in that prayer, huh? And ask God to do a mighty sweeping thing across the land. Dr. Holmes was praying a while ago about changing our nation. And I do believe, folks, the only way we can change it is to love Jesus more than we've ever loved Him and to win souls. We can only change this nation one soul at a time, right? And if we'll get out, start to doing what you're doing here in EE, knocking doors, introducing people to Jesus, the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ, I want to tell you, we can change America. If we'll just do our part in winning the lost to the Lord Jesus Christ, making disciples so they grow up in Christ, begin to act like believers, and that's our responsibility. So pick up one of these search and rescue manuals, take it home with you, study it, and if God leads you to implement it in your congregation this March and April and May, and then moving on from that to a year of evangelism, the next year will be a year of discipleship, the next year will be a year of leadership training, and we want God to use this to help us have search and rescue teams in every BMA church. We need that, don't we? So that we come back to what God has told us to do, to preach the gospel to every creature. Now, as I was preparing for today, I just had to think about something I read not long ago about a young executive, and he had been promoted to a very high position in a corporation. Well, one day his boss came into his office and he said, I need to talk with you. He said, I have a very serious matter, and it did lead to the dismissal of this young executive. The man told him, he said, about a week ago, you should have received an envelope marked priority. And he said, I have not heard from you. There was nothing said about it. And in that envelope was a contract with a company that would bring us literally millions in profits. And it was left on your desk, and I've heard nothing from you. Because of that, we have lost that contract. We do not have that opportunity again. And he said, you did not understand that it was priority. The young man began to squirm. He began to make excuses. He said, well, I evidently didn't see it. The man said, you could not have missed it. Your secretary put it on your desk, marked priority. The young man said, well, I just had some mail. Maybe it got in the wrong pile. And come to find out, he had taken 2 days off to play golf. And he was not there the next 2 days when it should have been turned in. And it cost that company a lot of profit, a potential profit, and he was fired, told to clean out his desk and to leave. Well, I read that story and I thought, you know, that's somewhat like we have done. We have priority too, don't we? As children of God, as churches of the Lord, as a denomination of Baptist churches, we have a high priority given to us, and it wasn't delivered by mail. It wasn't delivered by email or by website or by telephone. It was delivered to us by Jesus Christ Himself. And it is all wrapped up in what we call the Great Commission. Jesus said, go into all the world. And then every time He emphasized it over, over, over again, that you have priority. Now sometimes we look at that word priority, we think about what does it all mean? Looking it up just comes from the word prior, which simply means, you know, it's a matter of preferential treatment. It means that it is immediate response needed. And many of us know what the priorities are. If you don't, we need to understand that in our walk with God. Our priority is to love Him with all of our heart, our strength, our mind, everything. And then to stay in His Word and in prayer. Those are high priorities in our walk with God. When we talk about the priorities in marriage, we talk about priorities in finances and health. All of those areas, we say, this is a matter of real priority. And then when we think about priorities coming down from the spiritual side, it is that God has given us the priority to make disciples. Would you shout that with me, will you? To make disciples. If you read through the Word of God, you understand that is high priority. And it ought to get our fullest attention, immediate attention. This priority, I think, ought to be the driving force of every local church. I think that the end of our association. If anything else claims our priority, then we are out of focus as far as God is concerned. I think that the purpose of the BMA, or the priority of the BMA, is simply to help every church become a missional church. So that every one of us are focused on the Great Commission that says, go into all the world, locally, globally, and do not leave any man untouched with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So our deep desire is that every church within the BMA, every Baptist church, evangelical church, would be a Great Commission church, that we would go under that command. Somebody asked me one day, what do you believe is a Great Commission church? I simply say it's a church that has on its heart what is already on the heart of God. And when you think about what's on the heart of God, right now it's 6.7 billion people in the world. Scattered in 252 nations. That's the heart of God, to reach every one of those 6.7 billion people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God says, you want to ask if you're a Great Commission believer? If you're a Great Commission church, is what on your heart is what is already on the heart of God? You can say, we are. But if anything else is your priority right now, if anything else is driving you, then you are not what the Bible would say is a missional church, because it is all centered in the priority of the Great Commission. When I read this, I think about that young man. Out of neglect, out of other interests, out of some things that he wanted to do, completely neglecting what he was supposed to do. And I have to say, when I visit churches and when I think about our association, sometimes that's what we are. We're in neglect of the Great Commission. We have ignored it. We've laid it aside to do other things. And here is Jesus looking down from heaven and saying, don't forget, this is priority for you to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. I want to give you a short, some things about why I believe that it's priority. Number one reason is because of who gave the priority notice to us. When I look in the scriptures, I have to understand it came right from the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus was here with His disciples, He said, I want you to understand your assignment. Your assignment is to go into all the world. It came from His heart, it came from His lips, as He so told them, I want you to go. I'm going to leave. I'm going back to the Father, and I'm leaving you here, as we call now our search and rescue team, to go into all the world. Well, you might ask, well, who in the world is that He could speak that? I want to tell you who He is. He is God Himself. The God of the universe has issued this declaration, go into all the world. Jesus Christ is the founder of the church. All of us agree? Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and He has every right to tell us what He expects of us. The founder of this nation, as they framed the Constitution, as they did all those things, they did it so that we could have a great nation and know what we stood for. There are those, as was prayed today, who want to change all of that. They want to augment all of that. They want to put it out and say, oh, things need to change. I want to tell you, they may do that to the Constitution, but you can't do that to the Great Commission. It has never been changed. It's never been augmented. It has never been rewritten. It is still as Jesus Christ told us. So you say, well, what is the priority? Well, how many of you know the Great Commission? Let me see your hands, huh? All right, almost in unison. You don't need to memorize it. You need to say it every day. Therefore, go ye therefore to all the world. And five times in the New Testament, it's repeated to us. Our Lord gave it to us, you know, in Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20. Again, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15, go and preach the gospel to every creature. And then when you turn over to Luke chapter 24, verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in my name among all nations. Then you come over to John 20, 21, as my Father hath sent me, say it, will you? So even so send I you. And then when you get to Acts 1, verse 8, it's repeated again. Jesus, just before He left, said, ye shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth, every ethnos group. Don't leave anybody out. How in the world could we miss that? All of those verses you need to take down and write beside them in your Bible. You need to write priority, 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 because that is the word from the head of our church, the founder of our church, who said, go into all of the world. I always preach and I always try to believe that if Jesus is the Lord and if He is our Master, the only appropriate answer to Him is, yes, Lord. Say those two words with me, yes, Lord. I mean, if you're answering Him, well, we've got other things right now. Or if you're saying, well, I'll do that someday when I don't have all this, you know, standing in the way. If He is Lord, the only appropriate answer is what? Yes, Lord. And He has said, go into all the world. And some of us have not been doing that. We haven't even gone next door. We haven't gone across the street. We're not a part of the search and rescue team actively. And God is saying to us, I am your Lord. I'm your Master. Remember what He said to those? Why do you call me Lord and you do not the things that I say? Why do you call me Master and will not obey me? Jesus may be asking some of us the same questions. And He is saying, am I your Lord? We sing it. We say it. We put it on bumper stickers, but unless we are saying yes, Lord, to every command, He is not Lord at all. So when He has called us to go into all the world, this priority comes from none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It comes from the head of the church. I think the second reason is top priority is because the church is the only divine entity that has received that commission. You realize there's only one institution in all the world that has been given the Great Commission, the local church. How many of you vote for that, huh? And that is what He has called us to do. That's why we were established. That's why we are here today as churches, that we might introduce Jesus Christ to the nation. Somebody might ask, well, to whom did He give it? I think He gave it to the church. Now, I just think about the church, the relationship with Jesus Christ. The only institute in all the world that is divinely established during the ministry of Christ. The only one that breathes with Him, that thinks with Him, that dreams with Him, that aspires with Him. That's the only institution in the world. You go back to the book of Genesis, and when God created heavens and earth, I still believe that, don't you? Huh? And when He said, and created Adam, and He said, it's not good that man would be alone, I will make a helpmate to meet for him. And when He did that, He put him to sleep, took the rib out of his side, and made the most beautiful woman. Have you ever tried to imagine what Adam said when he woke up? I mean, as he named all the animals, there was no counterpart. There was nobody to dream his dreams. Nobody to talk with. Nobody to, you know, to share his life with and his heart with. But here, God created an Eve. And now He had a helpmeet. So somebody that was compatible with Him. And the same is true of the second Adam, Jesus Christ. He had no one on this earth who was dreaming his dream. No one to talk with. No one to carry out what he wanted to do in the world. And out of his side came forth the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And on that cross, when his side was riven and when blood and water streamed from him, he was giving birth to the mysterion, as it's called, the church. And this is the only institution in the world that is the counterpart to Jesus Christ. I know there are a lot of good parachurch organizations, and I praise God for every one of them. I think there is a lot of great civic organizations, but the church is the only one who has been commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So when we begin to think about that, we have a responsibility that nobody else has in the whole world. You go into all the world, he said to his local church. And if he is saying that, he's saying it not to any organization, not to any other entity. He said it to the church. And then he went back to heaven and he left us with that responsibility as the church to go into all the world. I think one of the greatest tragedies of our day is that many churches have slipped so far from biblical teaching that their members can't even explain why the church is left upon the earth. If you were to ask the normal member of a church, what is the church about? Why do we have church? I think most of them would say, well, so we can have sweet fellowship. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? So we can worship, so we can minister to all that. Do you know why the church is here? To evangelize and to make disciples. And if we miss that point, then we have forgotten what Jesus said. As my Father hath sent me, say it with me, will you? Even so send I you. I have just a deep feeling that if Jesus were to walk into our churches today and he were to walk up down the aisles and there while we are worshiping and doing all that we're doing in fellowship and in the planning, he wouldn't be able to say, you've kept the faith, you've run the race without turning right to the red, but you've not obeyed my commandment. We're doing a lot of things right, right? We're doing a lot of things well, but we're not doing what he told us to do. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. And I believe he would weep bitter tears. I believe he would be brokenhearted if he visited many of our churches because we are not great co-mission churches. We're not getting the gospel out as he has told us to do. I recently read a story of one man who came from India. He came over here to continue his Bible studies and to prepare himself to be a better equipped servant over in his own country. And when he came, he said, you know, I walked in a daze. I was just amazed in America. After coming out of my country of poverty, he said, I looked around and Americans have everything. They have houses, they have beds, they have furniture, they have water, they have food in abundance, they have roads, they have telephones, they have televisions, they have air conditioning. There's nothing that Americans don't have. And he said one of the ironic studies that I made while I was here, that in the U.S. only 17% of disposable income is spent on your food. So he said if you made $50,000, that means 17% of what you made was spent on food. And he said, there we were eking out a living of $200 a year. And he said, if we wanted to eat, it took $134 out of that $200 to feed us. We are blessed people. Amen? God has been so abundantly good to us as Americans. But I'm going to tell you, when he got down to the spirituality, he said, I thought I was amazed and gay and, just kind of in awe of America. But the first time I visited a church and I found out that it cost almost $100 million to build what they had, he said, my heart broke. He said, I looked at all the beauty of it and heard all the beautiful music and the orchestra and all of that Sunday. And he said, I looked at that and I thought, if we just had this money in India, we could build 15,000 average-sized church buildings in my land. He said, and I began to think about, what if Americans think about the Great Commission? Being in the States, he said, believers in America are ready to get involved in almost every activity which looks spiritual but allows them to escape their responsibility to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is that a true commentary on churches today? We're so anxious to get involved in activities that look good, but we are avoiding the great issue of the Great Commission of getting the gospel to every creature. He cited a magazine And he said, I read this magazine, Christian magazine. He said, I was just amazed. I read at what he said. He said, I read articles, stories, reports from all over the world written by Western Christian leaders. I saw ads for 21 colleges, seminaries, correspondence courses. 5 different translations of the Bible were advertised. 7 conferences, retreats, 5 new Christian films, 19 commentaries, and on, he said. This is what contained in that magazine. And he said, man, if only we just had a inkling of this in my land in India, what we could do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you read books like that or writings like that, it has to convict you, right? Because our responsibility is to go into all the world, every ethnos group, and to preach the gospel. And it has been given only to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And shame on us that we have allowed. And I praise God for those evangelical groups who are parachurch. But I want to tell you, it is not really their responsibility. It's our responsibility. As pastors, as leaders, as members of local churches, to get the gospel out to the nations. When I think of the church as a group of baptized believers joined together to carry out the commission of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is plan A. And there's not another plan B. Someone wrote about the angels in heaven as Jesus came back and said, well, what's going to happen now? He said, I died, I was buried, I rose again, I came back to heaven, and I've left it to the church to carry the gospel to the nations. Tell them about me. And they said, what if they don't do it? He said, they have to. There's no other plan. Folks, I would tell you, there is no other plan. Amen? He has said to his church, you must go. Have you ever considered why God let you be born in North America? You ever considered why you were born among the masses of people in Asia and Africa and why we're so spiritually blessed and materially blessed? And in view of all the superabundance spiritually and materially, what do you think is our minimal responsibility to the untold billions in the world? We sit so complacently thinking about them, but Jesus said, I left the church here for one reason. To go, say it with me, will you? Into all the world, to every ethnos group, and to make disciples. America is the only nation that was founded by believers. The only nation that was ever founded by believers in a covenant with God that we would be a Christian nation. We're born in abundance. We have freedom. We have divine blessing. And we need not ask why. We just need to ask, what are we doing with all those blessings? Why are we sitting so still without the voice of evangelism and the voice of missions? And that's why I have to say that I believe the Great Commission ought to be the driving force of every local church. It ought to be, I would say, the driving engine, not the caboose. I have witnessed churches that I think missions is just an afterthought. Missions is just something we do with leftovers. We mention it every once in a while, maybe during 50 days. We have prayer for missionaries. I want to tell you, missions ought to be 24/7. Amen? 365 days a year, because that's what we're all about. Otherwise, it's not the driving force of the church. Years and years ago, when ships were out at sea, and the captain of the ship wanted to get to the destination, he always kept his eyes on the North Star. There was no radar. There were no, computers. Nothing like that. Just keep your eyes on the North Star. And if he kept his eye on the North Star, he knew he was going to get to his destination. And he was going to be on right where he needed to be. Friend, I want to tell you what the North Star of every Baptist church ought to be. The Great Commission. Amen? Everything we do, every priority, it ought to be the priority. Everything we do ought to be centered in the Great Commission. Every message preached ought to lift up the cross of Jesus Christ, telling the great story of His love and His death, His burial, His resurrection, and pointing people to the cross of Jesus Christ. If the pulpit is not dedicated to that, then we have wasted our time in God's house. I'm saying every Sunday school class, every party, everything in the church ought to zero in, focus in on the priority, go into all the world, and somehow we have missed that. But we're still the only divine institution in the world that is charged with doing that. The next reason I would say that it's so such a priority is the value of the gospel. How many of you think it's a valuable thing, huh? I want to tell you three reasons why I think, first of all, the cost of it. Man, can you just sit at Calvary and think about the cost of our salvation and the gospel? Peter said, "For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, but you were redeemed and not with silver and gold from your vain conversations, but with the precious blood of Christ." He says he was a lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. How many of us ever just stop and ponder the cost of our salvation? Don't take it for granted. Amen? It cost heaven. It cost the Father. It cost the Son His life. He laid down His life for us. When we think the gospel is not important, think about the suffering, the agony of our Savior. And think about the fact that He was the most unwanted, unwelcomed, unloved person that has ever walked the face of the earth. No one wanted Him around. And still, even this day, it's that way. Jesus is the most hated person in the world today. I'm just saying, folks, it was a great cost. I think it's valuable, too, because of its power. Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it is the power of God unto salvation." Man, there's power in the gospel. You believe it?
Amen.
I mean, when you begin to preach it, you begin to go to the heathen, and you begin to go to the villages and all the places where they've never heard the gospel, and you begin to see the power of the gospel as they turn, as Paul said, from their darkness, from their idols, and they begin to turn to the glorious light of the gospel. You have to say, "Man, that's a powerful gospel." And then you read about the effect of it. You think about the effect of it upon men, upon nations. Paul said, "If any man be in Christ," say it with me, will you? "He is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new." I mean, nothing can do that but the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you see that change being made in a village chief, or you see it being made in some person out there who has never heard the gospel, they didn't know there was any hope in the world, and all of a sudden their lives are impacted with the gospel, it is a valuable thing. And we must guard it very carefully. I think it's something that your president had prayed this morning. Man, we got to guard the gospel. Amen? Being so perverted. Being so changed. Being so augmented. And watered down to whether it's just feel good about yourself and put on the smile. I'm going to tell you, it's more than that, my friend. It's a life-changing thing in the hearts of mankind. And when you begin to think about all the people out there in the world who have been misled by Buddhism and by Confucius and by demonic activity and by traditional religions and by fanaticism and by humanism and witchcraft and all of that, everywhere in the world you see it, it's creeping in more and more into America, right? And all we've got to do is understand how valuable the gospel is and stand beside it. And my next reason is simply this, because of the urgency of the hour. The priority is because of the urgency of the hour. 180,000 people die every day. 180,000 people die every day. Most of them without any knowledge of Jesus Christ. If that doesn't get us, I don't know what would. It is urgent that we get the gospel because death is marching. Death is coming. And it is appointed unto men once to die. More than that, I believe our Savior is coming soon. How about you? Huh? Everything signals that. Everything is pointing us to the skies. And Jesus said, when these things begin to happen, then what? Huh? Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Folks, I believe we're at the 11:59 hour. Jesus is about to return. And our work must continue until our blessed Lord comes. Another reason I would say is we have to affect our generations. Can't do anything about the past. They're gone. Those opportunities gone. But our generations are hanging in the balances. Here I am at the older age, and some of you are very young. It's your generation that God has placed you in. And the amazing thing is that half of the people who ever lived on planet Earth are alive today. Half of the people who have ever lived on planet Earth are alive today. Is that a big assignment? I believe it is. And Jesus said it's urgent that you get to them. And the last one that I have, the reason for the urgency is a word that is avoided today. Hell. I still believe in hell, don't you? And every person that dies without Jesus Christ is going straight to hell, then to the judgment, and then to the lake of fire, to be tormented forever and ever and ever. Men may deny the truth of that doctrine. Men may want to make it look a little better than that. Oh, you're not going to, it's not forever. It's not as bad as they've been preaching. Somebody just made that up to scare people. I want to tell you, Jesus talked more about hell than he did heaven. And he wanted people to know there was a place for that. C.S. Lewis, the great British defender of the faith, said, "There is no doctrine which I would more willingly remove from Christianity than this one, hell. But I would pay any price to be able to say truthfully, all will be saved." But he said, that is not possible. The people we love the most, many of them around us, are lost. People across the oceans are lost. It is urgent that we get to them. And I have to remember that all who have never heard the gospel, they're going to march right in the eyes of Jesus and hear him say, "Depart from me." Say it with me, will you? "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I have never known you." And it's our responsibility to get the gospel to them. And my next reason is because of our accountability. Someday we'll stand. And I think the question Jesus will ask of every church, of every preacher, of every believer, "What did you do with my gospel? What did you do about fulfilling the Great Commission? How many people did you bring to the kingdom?" And often I have to think, how many people are in heaven today or on their way to heaven because we shared the gospel with them? And how many people are burning in hell because we didn't? How many of you in your own mind today would think, there's some people that passed through my life that I didn't share the gospel with them, and they're dead now and they're probably in hell? How many of you know some of those? Let me see hands whip high. Yeah. Missed opportunities that we'll never have again. And everywhere I go, I try to impress people of the lostness of humanity. Take your card. I want you to hold it. Look at it. Tell me the word on the front. Tell me, will you? Shout it loudly. Lost. Lost. Now, I want you in this moment of time to ask God to remove that face of that lonely, lost man and put the face of one person in your personal life that's lost. Put it right there. Just look down at that picture and envision the person that God brings to your mind right now that is lost. Can you see them? You know their name? You know where they live? You know where they work? You know them. They're your neighbor, a family member, a relative, someone you love dearly, someone you work with, lost. And I want you to begin to pray now, "God, I want my priority to be to win this person to Jesus Christ." Missions begins at home. Say it with me, will you? Missions begins at home. And as it begins at home, it will spread like wildfire to the nations. But unless you have a passion for people around you, it will never happen. Lost. I want you to bow your heads with me, please. You have a priority message. Jesus gave it. And he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." God has just brought you the name of at least one person whose picture now you have implanted in your mind that's lost. What is your priority? Go tell them. Go love them. Go reach them. Go rescue them. How many bowed heads would just say by raised hand, "Brother Grady, God has impressed me to go to this person that's still lost. And I want us to pray together that they will be saved, they'll be rescued." Would you just lift your hand and say, "Pray for me as I go. Pray for me as I go." God bless you. Just think out of this room with these many people in it, if every one of us went out and won that one person to Christ. And I'll guarantee you when you win one, you want to go win another and another and another. And before long, you will be knowing that is your priority in life, to win the lost to Jesus Christ. Father, thank you that you have given us the gospel that impacted our lives and changed us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and were saved. And we thank you, God, that you have commissioned us with high priority tasks, responsibility and privilege of sharing the gospel with others. And help us to realize the priority of our churches is simply to have on our heart what already is on the heart of God. And thank you for putting in our hearts today the picture and the name of at least one lost person. And I pray we'll do everything we can to win them to Jesus Christ. May missions be the priority of our lives, beginning at home locally and then reaching globally. We pray, Father, that we will never be the same when we think about the lostness of humanity. And may we become active members of your search and rescue team. Use us to your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.